Today's daf in Masechet Shabbat, brought to you from Yerushalayim Yir HaKodesh, is daf Chof Tet, and we're holding at the bottom of Chof Chet Omud Beit. So if you recall, the last thing that we had was our Machlokas in the Mishnah between Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Akiva. And the question was, what possible relationship could there be between singeing a piece of Beged and it's being Mekabel Tuma on the one hand, and the din of whether you're allowed to be madlik with it on Shabbos. I mean, it doesn't seem to be connected. So we came up with an interesting answer. And the interesting answer was that we're talking specifically about the interesting case that we came up with was that it's talking about a yontif, which is Erev Shabbos. And therefore, the issue as to whether something is considered to be a kli or not has everything to do with the question of whether you're allowed to light with it, because it's going according to the shita that holds that Ein Meisikin B'Shivrei Kelim, which is Rabbi Yehuda. And we also hold that in order to light your candles, you have to be Madlik Berov. So therefore, since we're talking about a case of exactly 3x3, therefore there would be a problem, because the moment that it's Roy for a Psila, it's already Shivrei Kelim. Now, if I'm going to be a madlik with it, I'm being madlik with muksa, which I'm not allowed to do. And that was the interesting way in which it worked out. But that would mean, so first of all, we're going to get back to this in a moment. So let me just remind you that Rabbi Yosef said that he had a fragment of a brisa that defines a mishnah that it's talking about shalosh al shalosh b'tzum tzomais, that he never understood what that was referring to. And now he finally understands what it's referring to. It's referring to a case of here in our Mishnah where the thing loses its shame of a beged because of the fact that it was exactly a 3x3, and because of that, I have to worry about whether it's considered to be muksa and shivrei kelim. That was the last thing that we learned. Now, since this entire approach to the Mishnah was said by Rav Anah bar Ava, it appears that Rav Anah bar Ava, in explaining the Mishnah in this way, it must be that he personally holds that the halacha is like Rabbi Yehuda, that Ein Meisikin B'Shivrei Kelim, asks the Gemara, and this is where we're up to today, three lines up from the bottom of Amud Beis. Mina Kometari to Rav Anah bar Ava, leave it to Rabbi Yehuda, since this is the way that Rav Anah bar Ava could, the only way that he would explain the Mishnah was that it was going on Libda Rabbi Yehuda, that Ein Meisikin B'Shivrei Kelim. So if that would be the case, then apparently Shema Minak Rabbi Yehuda Svirale. That's how he holds. But we have a problem with that, because it appears to be that that's not how he holds. Because Miyom Rav Anah bar Ava, Hachi V'Rama Rav Anah bar Ava, in exactly this kind of case, you have a piece of wood that would have been perfectly good to use to light with your fireplace on Yantiv. A goy comes along, and he was chokek kav bibakat, and he made it into a measuring unit by hollowing it out. And now the question is, can you use it to light in your fireplace on Yantiv or not? So it says over there that you are allowed to be mesika biyantiv, even though what you're going to be doing is you are going to essentially be using this thing, which is completely neilat. In which case, why, since the whole idea of Rabbi Yehuda was that Ein Masikin Benolad, you're not allowed to use something that is created on Yantiv, so why would you be allowed to burn it on Yantiv, since it's considered to be a kli that all of a sudden came into being? So Libra to Rabbi Yehuda should be usher if he holds of Rabbi Yehuda. Apparently, if this is what Rav Anah bar Ava is saying, he does not hold of Neilat. Answers the Gemara, listen, Rav Anah bar Ava was in a tough spot. He's got a Mishnah over here. The Mishnah defines a machlokas between Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Eliezer. The only possible explanation that he could come up with was that this Mishnah must be going on Libra to Rabbi Yehuda, and that in Achinami, the machlokas Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Yehuda. Could somebody please...
Rabbi, I have a temporary solution.
Okay, but could someone call Gavi now and tell him he said he wasn't able to get in because I didn't notice that it was in the waiting room?
No, I'll if you click on participants, you can set someone else to be co-host. The co-host can then let people in while Rabbi's learning.
All right, but meanwhile, Moshe, will you call Gavi? He just reported in on WhatsApp that he can't join. Okay, there he is. All right, fine. All right. Well, at least this would stop people from coming in late. Okay. Oh, no, it's not working. I keep admitting him and he can't come, so.
Something's and it also prevents people from coming.
Early. No, that's why. Okay, I don't know why it won't work, but I how do I do post next time?
Make me a co-host, just good.
I don't know how to make you co-host.
Click on the participants and click me, and then it will the right click to let me be a co-host or something like that.
It can make you a host, it says. Is that good?
Yeah.
It makes you the only host. But that
doesn't matter.
I don't know. It might stop the recording. Okay.
Oh.
I don't know. All right.
It says that it's still recording.
Yeah. Okay, so you were able to let him in?
I think so. Can you keep this recording in the meantime?
Great. Right, so he's only explaining this a little bit of Rabbi Yezir, Rabbi Akiva, he himself, Leilo Sfirolet. Anyway, getting back now to the Machlokas. That's not the only way to explain the Machlokas. Reva says, look, I got another way of explaining the Machlokas. The issue that you had in mind was why it is that just because Rabbi Yezir holds that if you didn't singe it, it's still considered to be a beged. So you were concerned about the fact that if that's the case, what does that have to do with the question of whether you can be modeling? Nothing to do with the Tuma issue. It's a completely separate issue. It's if she'ein madlikin b'ptila she'ein mechurechet, v'lo b'smartutin, Tosfos says a girsa, even if they are mechurechi. So in other words, what we're dealing with over here is a problem in the suitability of the wick to burn properly. Nothing to do with Tuma v'taira. Nothing to do with muksa and shviras kelim. It's simply that it happens to be there's two different issues. If you didn't singe it so it retains its din of a beged, A. If you didn't singe it, my shita is that it's not going to burn well. And therefore, you can't use it as a ptila because of the reasons that we don't allow bet ptilot on Shabbos. You're going to come to be metakena, that your light will go out, however we learned. And you can't use rags, even according to Tosfos Tzadik Yerusha, even if they are mechurachim, because a rag doesn't burn properly. It's not a real Tila. Wait a minute, but the last shot that we had with Rav Ada, that worked out very well with Rav Yosef, who said, gee, I never knew what that meant. Shalosh, mitzum tzum. What was that about? So now, what is it about? Ah, that you will have to answer, but I'll tell you, it still makes sense. That was talking about a Mishnah, you know, Gehan the Dinim of Tuma. Because it says in a Mishnah, we're going to have later on in Kalim, Shalosh amru chutz min amlalal. That if you're going to measure the 3x3 etzba'ot we're talking about over here, the smaller shear, since the whole point of this is that it's used as a patch, some of it is obviously going to be included in the place where you're going to be sewing it, right? So in other words, the question is, do you need to have the actual hole filled with 3x3 etzba'ot? So that you need a little bit extra of the 3x3 so you could actually patch it, you could sew it, around the rest of it. Or no, we're saying it's not that the hole has to be filled with 3x3. We're talking about the piece of material. Obviously, in the end, you're going to be using some of that material for the actual sewing of the patch in. So that's the machlokes. According to Rabbi Shimon, we have to include the extra area of the sewing. Masha Enkin, according to the Chachomim, no. Exactly, shalosh b'chuvanot. And that's what that brayta that Rabbi Yosef had was referring to, and he wasn't able to place it in its proper place in the Mishnah in Kalim. But it had nothing to do with this Mishnah in Shabbos the way I'm learning, says Rabbi. Okay, so now let's take a look a little bit more at the din of Neilad Alibet Rabbi Yehuda. So Omer Rabbi Yehuda, Omer Rav, this is not to be confused with Rabbi Yehuda. This is Rav's statement. So he quotes the Machlokas between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon about whether you're allowed to be madlik with Neilad in terms of the dinim of Muktzah on Yanta. So, Mesikin b'kelim vein Mesikin b'shivrei kelim devin Rabbi Yehuda, whereas Rabbi Shimon is matir because Rabbi Shimon does not hold of Neilad, and because of that, there's not a problem. Now, there's additional cases. According to Rav, and this is now Rav adding his own stuff here, Misikin bitmarim, you can use an actual pile of dates, because since you're able to burn the pit of the date, and that was a very common fuel. So because of that, you can actually use the date itself. But if you ate the date, and now all you have left over is the gar'in, you have the pit of the dates, the pits are considered to be nolat. You cannot use the pits, divrei Rabbi Yehuda. Whereas Rabbi Shimon, in accordance with what he said before, that he's not worried about nolat, Rabbi Shimon is matir. Another thing is, you can be masikin be'egozim, you can use nuts to burn on yontev in your fireplace or in your stove. But if you ate those nuts on yontev, you cannot use the shell of the nut because the shell of the nut is the equivalent of shivrei kelim. And you're not allowed to be madlik b'shivrei kelim, as we said before. Now, the question, and of course, Rabbi Shimon, again, is matir. Why does Rav need to say three basic, they all seem to be the same, because tricha. Let's say I only would have known the first case, the fundamental case of shivrei kelim. So, yeah, I would have said, you know why Rabbi Yehuda is over there, he's machmir, is because there's a tremendous difference between a kli that has a clear-cut function and is fully functional and a shivrei kli. So that's really nolat. It's now a totally different thing. But when you're talking about a date, I mean, the date always had the pit in it, and it always had part of it that was roy for eating and part of it that was going to be used for burning. So, I mean, it was initially, the pit was always a pit, even when it had food on it. Now it's still a pit. Maybe that's okay. And we don't view that as being nolat. Therefore, he's telling us a tremendous chiddush, that even so, the pit was considered to be bottled to the food. And therefore, as long as it was miyuchad for food, it was food. And only after you ate it, now does it have a shame of a pit. So therefore, it is nolat. And how about if I would have known that case, I still would have said that yash bin agarinin, maybe nolat has something to do with the fact that it wasn't in the world. So in other words, since it was covered over completely by the meat of the date, so maybe that figures in Reb Yehuda's chumrah, that it's considered to be something that sort of appeared out of nowhere because it was invisible to the eye beforehand. But if you're talking about the shell of a nut, for heaven's sakes, the shell was there all along. So now what, because of the fact that what the shell encased, now it's considered to be nolat because it no longer encases it. I mean, come on. It was always here, and it was always open. So klipei egozim, we're being korim megala v'ashtu megala, that should be perfectly okay. Therefore, Rav is coming to tell me you should know that Rav Yehuda is machmer on every different level of this nolat. Now, the truth is Rav actually didn't say this beferish. We figured it out. We quoted Rav. What we meant was that you have a way of understanding that this is what Rav held. How do we infer that this is what he held? Michlola itma. Because once Rav was eating dates, and it was not Shabbos, so he was ochel tamri, v'shoda kashiyata labuchya. He threw the pits directly into his stovetop to be able to light them afterwards. So Reb Chiya was there. Reb Chiya said to, by the way, just you should know, Bar Pachse, the son of great people, Kenegdo b'yom tov asur, what you just did, you should just be careful because you can't do that on yontev in order to be able to turn on your oven, your stove, because that would be nolad a libid Rabbi Yehuda. So Rav Yehuda, who was heard about this maisa, so he assumed that if Rabbi Chiya told that to Rav, Rav certainly went along with it. And because of that, he quoted Rav as saying that it would be nolad. But are we really sure about that? I mean, did Rav accept this halacha from Rabbi Chiya? Kibla lo kibla mine. Well, Tashma, it seems to be that he didn't, actually, because when Rav came to Bavel, he ate dates, it was a yontev, and he threw the kashiyata, he threw the pits of the dates, lechevata, to the animals that they should be able to eat it. Now, I'm assuming that he was using the good dates that they have in Bavel, which are parsiyata. Those are Persian dates, and the Persian dates are very, very good, rich dates. And when you eat them, you know, when you have like one of these really good dates and you take the meat off of the date, the pit is completely clean of any food and it separates out totally. The poor quality dates, you have to suck on the pit in order to get the fruit off of it because it doesn't really fully form. And I'm assuming he was eating a good date, in which case, once he ate it. What's left is a completely non-edible thing, which is nylon, right? So apparently he didn't accept Rabbi Chiya, because why was he using it to feed the animals, which he wouldn't be allowed to do? Says the Gemara. I mean, how do you know that? Maybe it was talking about the case was over that he was eating dates from Aram. And dates from Aram are low quality, and they're not as ripe and wonderful to pull off. And because of that, over there, they don't become nolat, because all the chazi agi vimayu, they're still usable, because you could still suck on them in order to get off the rest of the remaining meat of the date. And therefore, it wasn't considered to be nolat. But had it been nolat, maybe he really did accept what Rabbi Chiya told him. Let me ask you something. According to what Rav Yehuda is saying, that mesikin mekelim, the ein mesikin b'shivre kelim. So then, I don't understand. Isn't it true that the moment that you would light your stovetop, right? So now you have your full kelim. You turned on the fire of your stove, so to speak. Now they became shivrei kelim. So how in the world are you supposed to stoke that fire and keep it going? I mean, people always do that. So you put in the kli, and now what are you going to do? As soon as you turn it on, it's the same problem we had in the Mishnah. If you have to be madlik rov, and you had shalosh ha-shalosh b'tzumtzomai, the way Rav Ada was explaining it, so then the minute that you lit it, it was no longer usable. So then it became shivrei kelim. So then you weren't able to light the rest of it. But isn't that true of having kelim shleimim in your stovetop? So v'kikamahapich, at that point, b'surikamahapich, when you now stoke the fire, so you're going to be over on the same issue as you had in the beginning. Answers the Gemara, you can only do it if you do the way that Rav Masna did it. Dovid Rav Masna. The Omar, Rav Masna, Omar Rab, if you have branches that fell off of a tree, a palm tree we're talking about, then it falls directly into your oven. Now, obviously, according to Rav Yehuda, that would be noilat, because, I mean, how am I allowed to take a tree that was usher for me to take it? All of a sudden, it fell off of itself. And now that's muksa, and you're telling me there's a way to use it. There is. The way to use it is to be marba etzim muchanim. Let's say you have other wood that was already made, set aside for using in a fire. And then if you have rov, that is wood that's kosher to burn, so then it's mevatel, the nolat branch, and you can be mesikan. So the same thing is true over here. If you're going to be use kalim on yontif, which Rav Yehuda was matir, you can only stoke it if afterwards you added wood that was made specifically, that was cut specifically for burning. Rav Amnuna says, I got another explanation about this whole Mishnah. I think the idea over here, the machlokas between Rav Eliezer and Rav Akiva, is not the way you said it, that because it's singed, so not singed, it's not good as a wick because it doesn't draw well. That isn't the point. We are talking over here about a case which is not pachos mishalosh al shalosh. It's pachos mishlosha al shalosha. And which means that it ought to be a beged by the terms of 3x3 etz ba'ot. And nonetheless, this is a unique case. Why? Because since it's less than 4x4, there's a special din which is called kule matmoniot, which means the specific idea of rags that are not significant to me. So what would be that case? Basically, the case would be where you took something and you set it aside specifically for something that is really a throwaway kind of use. So let's say you took this piece in order to use as a pot holder, right? So, okay, you got a very hot cholent. You had a couple of these little pieces that were on your counter. So you pick up two of them, and you pick up your cholent pot with it. So now, basically, you're showing that this 4x4 tvachin that normally would be something that I would care about, you obviously don't care about it too much to get it all dirty with the cholent, or maybe to get it singed with the fire, whatever it is. So because of that, you set it aside for some meaningless kind of thing. And because of that, it loses its chashivas. And this is Rebbe Eliezer going l'shitato, because it follows directly from the dinim of kulei matmonios, as we'll see. And this is Rebbe Akiva l'shitato, because we have this machlokas, which we're going to get to in kelim a little bit later. The Tanan, it says in the Mishnah like this: if you have less than 3x3 that were 3x3 tfachim, but more than 3x3 etzba'ot. Now you take this rag and you use it to plug up your bathtub, right? Okay, so then that's a throwaway use. I mean, it's not going to be like, this is not, but pashta is going to be something that you're going to hold around. If you were mitaken lifkok bo atamerchatz, let's say, or you wanted to wipe clean something that really gets very messy, so you're going to use it lekaner bo atarechaim, so your millstone. And now the question is, instead of throwing it away, it was set aside and not thrown away. And then the question is, how set aside is it? Obviously, if you threw it into the garbage at that point, it would be mevatel permanently its usage. Furthermore, obviously, if you took it and you straightened it out and you put it back into a drawer, then obviously you were not mevatel it. So now the question is, what is considered to be something that allows it to retain some chashivas? That's the machlokas between Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Eliezer, and therefore it has everything to do with the issue over here. So Rabbi Akiva says in this case, Rabbi Eliezer says rather in this case, that whether it's min hamuchan or ein omenu muchan, so whether you put it into some type of situation, which we'll see. Basically, let me tell you in advance, we don't have to get confused by the Gemara. There's four possibilities. There's the outlier possibilities. You either threw it into the garbage pail, or you folded it up and put it in a drawer. Okay, so if you threw it into the garbage, nobody is going to say that that's considered to be a beket. If you put it into a drawer and you folded it up, then nobody's going to say it's not considered to be a beket. So you've got two possibilities that are left. You could have, after you picked up your chalon pot, you could have taken it and stuck it onto a hook that's coming out of your wall, which indicates that, you know, okay, maybe I didn't get around to throwing the garbage, or maybe it means that I'm going to be using it again, and I want it conveniently on the hook. Now, there's another possibility, which is, as in many homes, you've got one of these little small containers on the back of the door where you throw things, and then you throw it into the garbage afterwards, but you sort it out. So that's called achorei adelet. You put it on the other side of the door. Or you just throw it on the floor out of sight, out of mind until you clean it up, right? So now the question would be, what is considered to be min hamuchan and what is considered to be eno min hamuchan, as we're going to see. So Rabbi Eliezer says, look, it doesn't matter whether this is muchan and it looks like you're going to be using it again, or it's not so muchan, it doesn't necessarily look like you're going to, it doesn't matter, it remains tummy. And because of that, even though you used it to pick up your chalon pot as a pot holder, you used it as a drain, plug, that doesn't matter. Now it's considered to be chashiv. So says Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbi Yoshua says, well, actually, whether it's muchan or whether it's eno muchan, it's tahar, because you have to do something that is clearly going to show that you want it. And that would only be folding it away in a drawer. Whereas Rabbi Akiva says, it depends. If it's the kind of thing which is muchan, we're going to see what these things are. So then, it would look like you actually want it still, then it would be tame. If it's not so much menamuchan, so then the fact that you used it for plugging up your bath, it means that you were mevatel the shame of the beget. Now let's just explain what the issue is. So Ula explained, look, the issue is like this. So Rabbi Barbachanam, Rabbi Yochanan said, everybody would definitely be meida. All three shittas would be meida. You throw it in the garbage, absolutely. That means that once you used it as a drain stopper and then you throw it in the garbage, forget it. It doesn't have any chashivas as a beggar to you. Because of that, it's not going to become tamei, and that is for sure. How about if you folded it in a drawer, right? So if you went ahead and you were hinicho bekufsa, you folded it away, so then for sure everybody would agree that that's showing that you do want it, and therefore it would definitely be tamei, even though you had used it for something that shows it's kulei matnonios, you've restored the fact that you view it as being kosher. The machlokas over here was whether, in the case where either you put it onto a hook or you threw it behind the door. So now both of these are somewhere in the middle. So on the one hand, you know, you could have clearly been mevatel it. On the other hand, you could clearly have restored it. On the other hand, there's two cases, which, as Tosfos understands, is the easiest way to understand the Gemara, is that you have the outlier cases are truly outlier cases. They're without any question. The two cases in the middle are very close to each other. Because in both cases, you haven't taken a step to throw it out, but you haven't taken a step to show clearly that you want it. The only thing is that if it's on a peg on your wall, it looks much more like you do want it than if you'd thrown it behind the door. That's all. But still, these two cases are still close to each other as opposed to the outlier cases. So there is where the machlokas is. This is how Tosfos understands it. And Rashi understands that each one of the Tanoim, which Tosfos cannot stand, is that you can't have a machlokas where people use the same word, muchan or lo muchan, as referring to different cases. It doesn't make sense. So according to Tosfos, the discussion is between the two close cases. So Rebbe Eliezer says, look, the very fact that you didn't throw it into the garbage shows that even though these two stages are closer, you do want to use it. Because why didn't you throw it out? So then why did Rebbe Eliezer call it shalom min amuchan? I understand. I mean, so then just say that's min amuchan. No, because he's talking about relative. Vis-a-vis, putting it into a drawer. That would be lo min amuchan. But vis-a-vis throwing it into the garbage, it would be min amuchan. So therefore, the two cases that are close, the peg is closer to the muchan, and behind the door is closer to the lo min amuchan. That's why he was using the terminology in that way. That's the way Tosfos understands it. We can learn it that way. Reb Yoshua, on the other hand, holds, look, if you did not put it away to reuse, forget it. The very fact that the act that you did was an act of kulei matnanios, which showed that it's not significant to you, you use it as a plug in your breath, that is already a reason for me to be mevatel. You have to do something positive to put it back together again. So why would Rabbi Yoshua call it muchan if it's on the hook? I mean, why is he calling that muchan? Because vis-a-vis the ashpah, that's called muchan. That's all that he's saying. So I don't care what you would do. So it would be muchan eno muchan. Rabbi Akiva says, when it comes to hanging it on a hook, then I agree with Rabbi Eliezer. Because, I mean, that's closer to my using it again for my cholent pot. Because why did I put it on my wall near my cholent? So because of that, it's showing that just because a pot holder doesn't mean it's garbage. And ba'anicho achorei atelet, if you throw it behind the door, that is more similar to Rabbi Yoshua. So basically, the what we call a rag would be a machlokas between Rebbe Eliezer and Rebbe Akiva, and that's what we're discussing now. And in which case, we don't have to come on to the question of its being sholosh al sholosh. It could simply be the case of kulei matmonios, and therefore whether it's considered to be a kli or not a kli. V'hadar bei Rebbe Akiva l'gabei de Rebbe Yoshua. In the end, you could see from the Mishnah here in Shabbos, the Rebbe Akiva changed his mind. And he now is made to Rabbi Yoshua. Why? Because when it says in the Mishnah, look at the Lashon of the Mishnah. P'tilat ha-beged, okay? You made a wick out of a beged. What do you mean p'tilat ha-beged? What you should have said was a wick that you made from a beged, right? P'tilat shel beged. If you're saying p'tilat ha-beged, what you're saying is that it is still a beged, a dying beged hook. So then that means that this cloth, even though it was kulei matmonios, it still has a din of a beged. And even so, Rabbi Akiva is saying that it's not roy to be makabel tuma. Why not? I thought he argued. Apparently he changed his mind. And now he holds like Rabbi Yoshua. And now Sir Richard is ready to introduce us to the next Mishnah. Wait a minute, you were a little flat on the me. What have you been doing all Shabbos?
Sleeping.
Lo yikov adam shvor feret shal beitzam. V'yimalen Hashem en v'yitnen api anir b'shvor shitehi min ha-tefet v'afilo yishal cheretz. So you're not allowed to make a little hole in a shvoferet, a tube. You were talking about first a tube that's made out basically an eggshell. So the eggshell represents a tube that can drip oil. If you make a small hole in it, it can drip oil into a lamp. So you put the eggshell full of oil, your lamp isn't going to burn long enough for you. So this is your Shabbos clock. Your Shabbos clock is your eggshell. You fill it up with the oil that's going to drip into the lamp to keep it going. Let's say, you know, you put a little mark, 1 hour, 2 hour, 3 hours, very convenient Shabbos clock, and now your light will go out at that time. You're not allowed to do that. And not only that, you're not allowed to do it even if it's made out of cheres. And usually, so when it comes to cheres, you look at it as being disgusting, because cheres that has the oil sitting in it that uses a lamp, people wouldn't take oil out of it to use. But actually, we are makbid because we're worried that you're going to end up taking some oil, because you don't see this as one connected thing to the lamp. Even though it's dripping into the lamp, we're not worried that you're going to take out of a burning lamp on Shabbos. People are used to the idea that is set aside for the Shabbos candle. They're not allowed to use it. But they're not going to focus on that when it's not really attached to their Shabbos candle. Whereas Rabbi Yehuda says, not true. Rabbi Yehuda is matir. People, they know not to touch something that is dripping into a Shabbos candle. Even the Tanakama is made that if it was made as part of one kli, so then even though it's made out of two parts, one has like this egg-shaped thing and the other is shaped like a normal lamp, but being as they're properly connected, even the Chachomim are made, nobody's going to use that on Shabbos, b'pnei shehu kli echad. Now a further case, lo yamalei adam ki ara shel shemen v'yitnena betzad haner. How about this case? You have a separate bowl full of oil, and the wick that goes into your lamp comes out the other side of the lamp, but goes into this bowl, which means that you're going to be drawing from a separate container. And it's like, doesn't even look to the person, he doesn't necessarily notice that there's a wick coming out that's drawing oil. So over there, even over there, Reb Yehuda is matir. It's pretty obvious that the Chachomim, thank you, Reb Arnea, beautiful. It's pretty obvious that the Chachomim would aser, but even Reb Yehuda, in that case, would be matir. So that means we have three separate cases, and the Mishnah is telling us a chiddush in each of them, and we need all three of them. Let's say we would have just known the case of the shvoferet of the egg. Maybe the reason that Rabbanit said over there that you're not allowed to do it is because they were concerned that somebody's going to take some of the oil out, because it's, after all, it's in a nice clean eggshell, all lined with, a plastic lining. It's all clean and fresh. So it's not most to anybody. He may actually take some. But if it was made out of cheres, which gets disgusting with oil in it, maybe they would agree. We don't have to worry. And maybe Meidel or Rabbi Yehuda. V'yashvin and Shacharis, let's say they would have said the case of Charis, I would have said, okay, over there, Rabbi Yehuda is matir. But if you would have said the case of the, wouldn't have said the case of the egg, maybe in that case, I would have thought that since it's not most, maybe he would have been Meidel to the Rabbana. So I need both of those cases in order to clarify the shitas of Rabbi Yehuda and the Rabbana. Now, if I would have had even both of those cases, I would have said that, look, I understand that Rabbi Yehuda is makil over there because they're near each other in such a way there's nothing that separates between them. You put the egg on top of the lamp. But over here, you're in a separate container completely. It's a ka'ara that is completely separate. You just have the small wick that's going across the table into the lamp. Maybe over there, Rabbi Yehuda would be mated. And in that case, yeah, for sure, you got to worry about that, right? Maybe it would be mated to the Rabbanan. And if the Mishnah would have said only this last case, I would have said, well, of course, over there, the Rabbanan are makbid, because what's going to stop the guy from taking oil out of the separate container? Mashenke, the first two cases where it's clearly part of the Shabbos lamp, maybe they would be made a tribune, so therefore, tzricha, obviously. Now, the Mishnah says, if it was originally manufactured in that way, in imchibra yotzer mitchila, that's mashma, only if it was manufactured that way. But that doesn't seem to be true, because Tana, imchibra besid ubecharsit mutar. It says over here, even if you, a non-professional, you're the owner, and right before Shabbos, you take a little bit of glue and you attach the eggshell or the cheres, you attach it to the actual lamp. So even the chachomim would be made in that case that it's mutter. So wait a minute, says the Gemara. Doesn't it say in the Mishnah, anan yotzer tanan? It says, only if it's manufactured like that. And you're telling me anybody can just could just glue it on? Yeah, the Mishnah doesn't mean literally it was manufactured like that. My yotzer ke ein yotzer. It means that you do it properly so that it's really tightly attached and clearly part of the same kli. That's all it means. It doesn't mean that it necessarily had to be manufactured in that way. Tanya Omar Rabbi Yehuda, Pamachat Shabbatenu Baliat Beit Nitzabulot. We once spent our Shabbos in the upstairs of Nitzah's house, and he brought us a Shvoferet Shal Beitza. Look, I just want you to know, we did this halacha lemaisa, you know, and the place was full of the greatest talmidei chachamim. Rabbi Tarfon was there, Zakenim, and there nobody said a word. Nobody said, "Oh, you're not allowed to do that because you know somebody may come to be mistapek." Everybody agreed with me. You can't bring a raya from there. Because Shinei Beit Nitzah, the Zrizimim, that's a very special situation. Because over there, the idea is that everybody there was a Zoriz, and that means that there were people that were, so to speak, standing there to be Shomer that nobody would take it. If anybody was not thinking about something, it was impossible that such a thing could happen in that place. Of in Tziporah, another Maisa, which is similar to this, and which was referenced, this mice was referenced in. So Avin Tziporah Goras Avsalabi Elita Desheisha. So he was also in a second story, and the floor in the second story was tiled. It didn't have a dirt floor like the downstairs had. And it was Rabbi Yitzchak ben Elazar's area there. And he said, "Okay, buddy, let me tell you something. If I don't complain and tell you that you're not allowed to do that, then what's going to happen is that the same story is going to be reported in later generations like Rabbi Yehuda reported, you know? So Rabbi Yehuda went around just because nobody was mocha. Nobody said, hey, you're not allowed to do that. So because of that, he went around and he said, hey, everybody agreed with me. Nobody agreed with you. Well, if I do the same thing now and I say, well, you know, since this is a place of great people and I let you get away with doing that, then everybody's going to say, That means that we're paskening, that there's no problem in dragging something across a floor. Because that means that I approved of your action, which meant to say that I'm paskening like Rabbi Shimon. But I do not pasken like Rabbi Shimon. So because of that, and I'm telling you, even though over here this is a floor that is tiled, and you'll say, so if it's tiled, what can I possibly do harm by dragging a bed across the floor? You can't. But Gizera Elita, the Shishuatu Elita de Alma. We're not going to allow you to drag things across a tiled floor. Tosus explains, in an area where most floors are not tiled. That's the point. So in other words, if you're in a mokum in which this is a problem because people generally have untiled floors, so if we'll allow you to drag it on a tiled floor, you'll dry it on an untiled floor also. Reish Knishta Lebatzra, Gora Safsala Le'ela Mirbirmiya Rabba. So the one who was in charge, the Reish Knishta, is the person that takes care of the shul. He brings people in, he puts the tinokos to give them a place to learn and so on. So anyway, he was, once he dragged a bench where from the shul, and Mirbirmiya Rabba was there. So Amalesa Mirbirmiya said to him, "Why are you doing this? Come on. You're doing this because you hold like Rabbi Shimon, who says that it's mutter. Ema de'om Rabbi Shimon bigdolim. Rabbi Shimon only said, you're not worried about making a furrow in the ground because it's so heavy that it's not reasonable to ask you to carry something that is inconvenient to carry." But that he was only talking about gedolim. I mean, he was only talking about something that's heavy, which is difficult to move, and therefore he allowed you to drag it. But this is a small bench. Why don't you pick it up like a bench and carry it? Because Rabbi Shimon didn't make a blanket statement, which is not true, really. Because Pliga de Ula, what Rabbi Yirmiyah Rabbah told over here, the Reish Knishta, is not true according to Ula, which is how we paskin. The Omar Ula, on the contrary, the Machlokas, well, part of it we paskin, the Machlokas is Biktani. The only Machlokas between Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Yehuda is Dafka, things that are easy to move. So there, Rabbi Shimon is saying that there's no problem to drag it. Avo bigdolim, if you're talking about something that is impossible, not impossible, it's hard to move unless you pull it, then Rabbi Yehuda is made that it is not going to be gozer, since it's not a psik resha, and since it's a davar she'ena miskaven, so he would also be made that it would be mutter. Now Tosis brings another girsa, which has that everybody is made that it's usser if it's a big item. And that's because they're understanding that if it's a big item, then it is a psik resha, and it's more, or at least more likely, what they call korev lipsik resha. So it's so much more likely if it's a heavy thing that it's going to cause a furrow in the ground. But Tosfos shows that that's not the correct girsa in our sugya. Masiv Rav Yosef, both Rav Yirmiyahu's pshat and Ula's pshat seem to be wrong from Rabbi Shimon himself, because Rabbi Shimon Omer, Gorer Adam Mitaki Seves Afsal, Ubilvat Shaloyit Kaven La Sot Haritz. Now, you'll note that he said both Mita and Kisei, okay? So that means Reb Shimon is specifically addressing both Gedolim and Kitanim. So that both approaches are wrong, both Rabbi Yirmiyahu Rabba's approach and Ula is wrong, which is actually how we do Paskin. Says the Gemara, well, Ula would have to explain this Lishitasai, Rabbi Yirmiyahu would have to explain this Lishitasai. Ula is Mitar's Lishitasai. Then when it says Mita, the Kisei, it means the type of Mita, which is a small thing. Dumya de Kisei, and it's a smaller type of bed. Maybe it's a folding bed, portable bed, right? Whereas Rabbi Yirmiyahu Rabba is Mitar, it's the Tameh. Kisei Dumya de Mita. The only Kisei that Rabbi Shimon is speaking about is that it has to be similar to a bed that is difficult to move around, and that's why he was matirit. Says the Gemara, this still doesn't make sense. If you take a look at the Mishnah, it's pretty clear that Rabbi Yirmiyahu Rabba is wrong, because it says like this: if you are a seller of clothing, you're allowed to be mochrin kedarka nubavat shloit kaven bechama mipnei hachama ubegeshamim mipnei hageshamim. So what you have to sell over here is, and you're selling to non-Jews and everything, and the way that they used to sell is that you would put on like five or six suits on top of you, and you would go walking through the market, suits for sale, right? And then you would say, you like this one? You like this one? You like this one? Nowadays, we only do that when you've got contraband, you know? Psst, you like this one? Okay. But in those days, that's how they would sell it. So the shaila is, if the suit has shatnas in it, are you allowed to wear it in order to sell it? So it says over here, there's no problem. You can wear it the way you like, as long as your kavana is not to have additional protection from the sun or additional protection from the rain. So in other words, obviously you have your fundamental protection, right? You're wearing clothes, and now you've got this other stuff. It is not comfortable to be wearing this other stuff. So because of that, the kavana of the levisha is a davar she'ena miskaven. You are not being lovesh shatnas. And because of that, over here, look, it says hatznuin mafshilin b'makel acharein. So people who want to be tsanua, and they don't want people to say, oh, this guy goes around wearing shatnas. So because of that, they take a pole, and they put their suits on a pole, and they carry the pole over their shoulder with the suits so that nobody should say anything about them, okay? Now, it's possible to do this without great inconvenience. You could do what the tsnuim are doing. That's the equivalent of picking up the chair, because it's easy to pick up and move. So that's like a little chair. Nonetheless, it says over here that, look, if you don't want to be makbid on yourself that people are going to talk about you, so fine, so go ahead and wear it. And it says over here, if you're not being miskaveh, then that is mutter, even l'chatchila, according to Rabbi Shimon. So clearly, this is a tiyuf to the Rabbi Yirmiyahu Rabba, because Rabbi Yirmiyahu Rabba said Rabbi Shimon was only matter where you really can't get along without it. It is indeed a tiyuf to Rabbi Yirmiyahu Rabba, and according to this, Rabbi Shimon was matir under any and all circumstances, whether it's difficult, it's not difficult, it's perfectly okay. So now that means that we've got two tuma ways of understanding the machlokas over here, and two hadlaka issues in terms of explaining, right? Because Rav Adar Bar Ava holds there interrelated because of the question of whether it's considered to be a beged. Rabbi Eliezer holds kippah is itself not meal, and therefore if you didn't go ahead and singe it, it still has the shame of a beged, and it's going according to the shita of Neilat. And therefore, once it's still a beged, I wouldn't be allowed to write to light the robe. The other way we explained it was that, no, it's two different machlokasin. The question of whether kippah is meal, yes, that was the issue between Rabbi Kiva and Rabbi Eliezer, benogea tuma. Benogea hadlok, it's a completely different machlokas. Namely, is it going to burn properly if it's not singed before? Okay, we have a completely different approach that we're talking about the shayla, again, whether folding is considered to be tomei or not. But the question about the shayla of whether it's considered to be a beged after it was kulei matmonios is the machlokas between Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Eliezer benogea kulei matmonios, and has nothing to do with the question of whether kippah is mayo. And we're talking about shloisha al shloisha, which is a totally different approach legabi the din of tuma. All right, so we've got a fascinating mission that led us into a lot of different wonderful issues over here. We'll see you, Bezrat Hashem, tomorrow morning, regular time. It's wonderful to see you. What a great way to start a week. Hinei el Yishu Asi Eftach V'lo Efchod. And we should all have Besurot Tovot from everyone that we care about, and all of Klal Yisrael, at least Bonav Ahuvim Shalom Okim. Kol Tov, everyone. Shavua Tov, and thanks for coming.
Shavua Tov.
Shavua Tov.